Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody, let's go. It's playoff time. Welcome into Gwen and Chris, everybody. A manic Monday, a day to get ready, a day to kind of sit back and, I don't know, worry about everything. I think that's probably what all Padre fans are doing right now as we are on the eve of the 2025 postseason. Tomorrow afternoon, of course, at noon, the Padres and Cubs win game one of the National League Wild Card playoffs. The Padres able to finish up with a sweep of the Diamondbacks over the weekend. And, you know, for what it's worth, you get to the 90 win mark for the second year in a row. And so you feel good about that, I guess. But I would trade in two losses to the Diamondbacks for wins this coming Tuesday and Wednesday. I'm sure you would as well, Scrabe.
Of course.
Good to see you, sir. Matt Scrabe alongside. Chrisello here inside the Odyssey Palace Studios. Tony Gwynn Jr. is, of course, in Chicago. And joining us from Chicago will be Sam Levitt there. Our pre- and post-game show host will be on the program here in about 35 minutes with a live report from the Windy City. If you're just tuned in, there's a little bit of news to share. Dylan Cease has been named, surprisingly, I think, to a lot of people, the Game 2 starter with Yu Darvish set for Game 3. We'll hear from Mike Shildt on that decision in just a little bit. I think all that means is that they just didn't think Michael King was right. They just didn't think he was ready. He wasn't right. He pitched 2 2/3 innings on Friday night. He threw 49 pitches and walked two or three guys and just didn't have good command. And, you know, I mean, to me, that was the whole story all along. Either, you know, Michael King was going to get 3 or 4 starts to see if he could get right for the postseason. And I don't feel, you know, I think they don't feel that he's right. Otherwise, he would be the choice. But without King, you have to, you know, roll the dice a little bit with Dylan Cease. It's not been a great year for Dylan. It's been especially bad on the road, where he's been bombed pretty much all year long. I think he had one road win the whole season. And now you're going to ask him in game two to go into Chicago and beat the Cubs, either to keep your season alive, depending on what happens tomorrow, or hopefully to help you advance. Now, I don't mind saving Darvish for Game 3, and I'll just say, here's my reasoning. I'm not going to Monday morning quarterback this, because I know you could have gone Darvish in Game 2. Although, you know, as you'll hear Mike Shildt say, he wanted to make sure everybody had the proper rest. But I trust Darvish in these situations more than I trust Cease. I think most of you do as well. Now, it doesn't mean that Darvish is going to pitch great and Cease isn't. But based on what I saw last year from Dylan Cease when the Padres came home with a 2-1 series lead and they bumped him up a day, remember, and it was a big choice, big decision, bumped him up, right. And I think the final was 8-0. The Dodgers won. Now, it really didn't matter. Cease only given up one run, because I don't know that the Padres are ever going to score again the way it was going. But
unfortunately,
I didn't think Cease, you know, rose to the occasion. So I'm going to feel more comfortable with Cease in game two, hopefully trying to clinch, than I would sending him out here in a winner-take-all. Darvish is my guy for a winner-take-all. And now the risk you take is that you may not even get to a winner take all if you lose the first two games. And I will say this, something certainly to keep in mind, although it doesn't necessarily mean anything for this particular series, they have had the wild card round now, two out of three, since 2022, where one team hosts all three games. Except for the fact in 10 of the 12 wild card series that have been played so far, there has been no third game. 10 of the 12 have been two-game sweeps. Hmm. Winner the first game has won the second game. And in the two that weren't sweeps, one was the Padres beating the Mets, may recall, in three games.
Yes.
But in all 12 series, the winner of game one has advanced. So, you know, you can't put everything on tomorrow, but you kind of have to put everything on tomorrow. Right? You just want to win it. And you know, to that end, you got to, you know, get your usual thing from Pivetta. Matthew Boyd is going to pitch for the Cubs. Have they announced game two yet?
I checked
half hour or so ago, and I hadn't seen them announce game two. They can go a lot of different ways in game two, three, and four, the Cubs, because I'm pretty sure Cade Horton would have been the choice. But the rookie of the year, or the likely rookie of the year in the National League, is not going to pitch in this series. So we'll see what the Cubs do. But Matthew Boyd, he's shut down the Padres in April. It was a long time ago. But this guy has been tough all year, and especially on left-handed hitters.
Yeah, I'm not seeing a game two yet.
Yeah, I don't think they have to announce it yet. So
someone's saying they think it's Imanaga, but I'm on ESPN.com, and I don't see any. I see the Padres pitchers, but I don't
think
see
it'll
the
be Imanaga too. But that doesn't mean they've announced that it's going to be him.
Yeah.
I would go with a left-hander if I'm the Cubs. I mean, after all, the Padres figure to start five left-handed bats tomorrow. You know, if they stick with the lineup that we've been seeing, I mean, they're going to have Arise, they're going to have Merrill, they're going to have three in a row potentially in the middle to bottom part of the order now. With Gavin Sheets, O'Hearn, and Cronenworth. You got five left-handed hitters. You've got to throw a left-handed pitcher at that, I would think. And you know, to me, the pressure is going to really be squarely on the shoulders of two guys for the Padres. I mean, you cannot – look, if Ryan O'Hearn keeps hitting lefties the way he has, great. And he has hit them, you know, really well. So let's hope that holds up. But – if not, and you got to think that your left-handed bats are going to be neutralized, it's going to come down to Fernando and Manny. And these two guys are going to have to get the job done. That's it.
I like what Fernando's done lately, though.
Well, look, he seems to be warming to the task.
Go ahead. I was going to say, that Grand Slam on Friday night, I was sitting at a spot in the stadium where it was just a perfect view. And you could just see his confidence coming back with each home run he's hit here in the last week.
And look, he should be confident going into the playoffs. After all, in 13 postseason games, that's a fair amount.
That is a fair amount.
Fernando has a 1,328 OPS. That is better than what
Aaron... Aiming for the big cake, man.
You know, that's better than what Aaron Judge did this season. Now, he did it over a whole season. I'm just saying, I'm trying to make a comparison.
Hey, 13-28, if you want to be good at a certain point, the playoffs are it.
Yeah, but 1,328 is an astronomical number for an OPS. So you got to hope Fernando in 13 games, six home runs, and a 1,328 OPS. So you hope he's Fernando. On the other side, Manny has not been great. He has not been great in the playoffs. In 25 games with the Padres in postseason, Manny Machado's batting average, .216. He does have seven home runs, but only a .713 OPS. That's a little low for what we're going to need to win this series.
No, that's low. That's low for a guy like him.
And in his career, Manny's postseason batting average is .215. With a .684 OPS.
That's not great.
It doesn't mean a lot. I mean, he gets two home runs in game one. It's going to change real fast.
Yeah. Talk about what have you done for me lately, really,
it
with these stats.
And it's going to come down to those two guys. It just is. We already went over this the other day, Scrabe. When the Padres score four runs or more, they win 77% of the time. When they don't, they win 29%. And when you project that number on last year's playoffs, teams that scored less than four runs went 8-30. You got to get four runs at least.
That seems to be the line of demarcation.
Yes, exactly. You said the same thing.
Wow, we went at the same time. I wasn't sure if that was the right phrase.
Me neither. We're fine together.
Yes, we have.
But look, four runs. You got to find a way to get there, and I think Manny and Fernando are going to have to get you there. You know, whatever we can get from Luis, hopefully he's on base with a couple of hits. He's been swinging it great.
Yeah, I need to see. I think he could be considered part of the guys who need to perform because
of course
he needs to get on base so they can get these 2-3-run homers.
Yeah, and to that end, I mean, we can't sit back and wait for the 3-run homer that we never hit this year.
No.
So we'll see. Move some runners along, make productive outs, get some key hits. And that's what playoff baseball is to me, and that's what it has always been. And I will give you one more thing on playoff baseball. And isn't it weird? Everybody always talks about defense and pitching wins in the playoffs. I've always felt it's the exact opposite. Because everybody has good pitching, or they wouldn't be in the playoffs.
That's true.
And most teams play pretty good defense. As a matter of fact, if you want to look at the defensive runs saved category. There, how about me being a little analytical?
DRS?
DRS, the Cubs are second in baseball.
Mm.
They don't figure to give you much. So, you're going to have to come through on the few chances you have. And that means hitting with runners in scoring position. And again, last year, 43 playoff games were played. I mentioned this on Friday, but it's certainly worth revisiting. In 43 playoff games last year, all the games, teams that won hit .279 with runners in scoring position. That's really good. Teams that lost hit .139.
Mm-mm.
You've got to get some hits with runners in scoring position, and you don't get as many chances at that in the playoffs.
You know what I like from this group is that Annie Halbern's article last week about some of the guys who have playoff experience, they all are understanding that the playoffs are a whole different animal. And I really think that these guys are going to turn it on when the bright lights
We're going to find out.
Actually, I didn't want to say turn on twice.
Well,
but
what I was going to also tell you is that the lights probably aren't going to turn on at all.
You're
games
probably
played
right.
At 2 o'clock at Wrigley Field tomorrow.
I think they might have them on a little bit just
they
in case.
They might put them on a little later in the game. You're right, Scray, but I don't think the bright lights.
So you mean that the Major League Baseball put the Padres in midday so the bright lights actually wouldn't turn on?
No bright lights for the Padres, as we assumed last week. Much to your chagrin, the Yankees and Red Sox got the primetime slot. So that is the way that went.
Can't wait for it to be bored out of my mind.
We get day baseball. All right, we are underway. We got many things to discuss. I told you Sam Levitt is out. He's in Chi-Town. We'll get the latest from Wrigley Field. Any more? Maybe the latest on Elias Diaz and
Mike Schill talked about him.
Yep. Right, I know, but I want to hear even further updates.
Oh, okay.
From Sammy. By the way, I had the strangest thought, and I know we're a little past the break, but the Padres are hinting that they might go with a third catcher because they're a little concerned about the health of Elias Diaz. Could you imagine being in the 11th inning with a tie score and two runners on, and Luis Campusano came to the plate? He's in Chicago,
It's not a joke.
It's not a joke. I mean, imagine. After everything, if a game came down to that.
Hey, he's been incredible in AAA.
I know.
He was an all-star for AAA.
Remember when
you said he was going to be an all-star?
I said he was going to be an all-star this year. I didn't say in AAA.
If he could figure it out for a series, he could be immortalized in Padres history.
How about just figuring it out for one at bat?
Okay,
that might be what we need. All right. When do the Padres actually have to name their 26? Tomorrow morning? I think it is tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
So we'll wait. I had originally thought that maybe Dylan Cease wouldn't even be on it because they wouldn't need him in the first round.
I was pretty sure he wasn't going to be on it.
Well, he's on it, and he's going to pitch game two.
He's starting game two. I'll explain it on the other side, but I don't think it's as scary as maybe I once thought.
Well, look, we're going through every negative scenario. All of us are. And we'll try to calm some of your fears when we come back. Gwynn and Chris underway. Happy Monday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Feels like the calm before the storm, you know? Everybody just
right?
kind of bring it down. Tomorrow, a little after 12 o'clock, how many people are feeling a little bout of the sniffles right about now?
I know I am.
You know
Chris.
What I mean? Scratchy throat.
Yeah, you can yeah. hear it.
Get a little, you know, you and I don't have to do that because we're going to be watching the game before the show. But a lot of people are going to have to do that tomorrow or decide what to do.
This
right?
has been a major point for Padres fans.
Sure.
And I feel for you Padres fans, but I don't know that there's anything that anyone
the
can
only,
control.
Here's the really good thing about this now, because everybody works at the computer, at the desk, and the whole thing. Hopefully, you know, you can just stream it, right? Get an ABC
yeah.
feed somehow. And then if you're sitting at your computer, maybe you can at least watch it up in the, you know what I mean?
No, I know what you do.
You can
do.
Pretend like you're working.
You go onto Odyssey and you listen to
or you can certainly listen
the
to the game. Sure. Yeah. You can listen. Of course, we'll have the call. But anyway, I just feel a lot of people right now are leaving work a little early today. Yeah. Just not quite feeling it, sir.
Yeah, my throat yeah, is hurting.
Yeah, not quite feeling it.
I was listening to Braden coming down here, and he was like, do something for the kids and let them watch this game. If you're a cool teacher, I'm not saying to, like, drop everything to watch the game, but have it on in the background with no sound. Just let them watch it. Be cool.
Yeah, good luck. I had a teacher when I was little, Mr. Mock.
Oh, that's a Mr. terrible
Mock.
Teacher name.
I believe it was M-A-U-C-H. Mr. Mock was from Ohio. And luckily, the Reds were in the World Series like a couple of years there when I was younger.
He was a Reds guy?
And he was a Reds guy, and so he put the games on. But you had to root for the Reds or you couldn't come in and watch.
Ooh,
was his rule.
That's kind of crazy.
Well, I rooted for the Reds so I could watch the game. World Series. Got to do what you got to do.
Why doesn't Todd Gloria just come out and say, hey, the next 3 days
oh, yeah, right.
are... holidays here
with all
San
due
Diego.
Respect, does Todd Gloria know we're in the playoffs? Has anybody alerted him yet?
I don't know.
I'm just
he usually, you know, politicians usually give those can't wait to watch my team in the playoffs.
Right. Maybe Todd Gloria is trying to get a hold of the mayor of Chicago
so they can make a bet
something on it.
Yeah.
Know, that might be part of it. All right. Mike Schilt with the big news of the day asked about what he was thinking for a Game 2 starter. We know Nick Pivetta's starting Game 1. Until a little while ago, we didn't know who was the Game 2 starter. Now we do, and we're surprised.
Which starter will you trust in Game 2?
Dylan Cease is going to start Game 2.
And the decision behind that?
Multiple decision, multiple things. I mean, Dylan's been good, throwing the ball more consistently lately. It kind of let up, and it gives... If indeed there's a game three, you know, and Darvish is in play, gives him an extra day of rest. Dylan's rested. He's throwing the ball well here. He's throwing the ball well against his club. And he's Dylan Cease. He's got a big arm, and he's the guy that we feel is best suited for game two.
And that would mean Michael will be available in the bullpen, given that?
That'd be accurate.
What is that, given the experience that he has in that role in the past, what can that do to help you guys?
It's another weapon. You know, it's another weapon that's there. You know, again, we've got bullpen guys that clearly have gotten us here that we trust, and Michael will be used appropriately relative to the guys that have the experience and have, you know, done well in that role. And the spot will present itself potentially this series for Michael to show up.
All right, there he is, Michael Schilt. Michael King has pitched in relief before his career.
Yeah, that was the whole thing about why he came from the Yankees to the Padres.
I get it, but, you know, he's a starter, and I wouldn't expect to see Michael King. Let's put it this way. If we see Michael King in games one or two, it's probably because things are not going well.
I have another thought.
Okay.
Michael King, or
they could just bring him in like in the sixth inning to get a couple of outs right at the end of an inning type of
Michael
thing.
Michael King, but, I think what's going to happen is they're going to let Dylan Cease go one time through the lineup. Michael King comes in the fourth inning, hopefully, and then they go from there. Because I cannot trust, with what we've seen all season long, I cannot trust that Dylan Cease will get through the lineup for a second time in the playoffs.
So you're thinking if even it goes nine up, nine down, that's
get him out of there, put Michael King in there. Yeah.
Well, it's something
I also have said Mike Schilt needs to manage with a little bit more of a gut feel. So if he does keep him in there, I can't be mad. But at the same time, numbers tell me Dylan Cease is not great in the second time through the lineup. Make him pitch through the first time through. Have Michael King come in. Maybe he goes through another part of the lineup. Then you go 7, 8, 9 with their relievers.
Well, I think, you know, look, everybody's worried about everybody right now. You know, it's like people are saying, well, I have a lot of confidence in, you know, Pivetta, but after that, I'm pretty worried about it. I don't know. The only guy I'm not really worried about is Mason Miller, and I just don't know that we can use him for 9 innings in both games.
I know, right?
You know, we're going to have to figure out a way to get through it, and, you know, these guys are going to have to pitch well. That's it. I mean, they're all capable of pitching well. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's definitely
these guys
fair to
can
say.
Pitch. You know, they've been struggling. It hasn't been working lately for the likes of Cease and Darvish and King, and we need them. So, all right, here's more from Mike Schilt as he talks a little bit about the fact that, and this is true.
This is right up your alley.
Well, it is. Look, the Padres had one of their best home records ever, 52 wins. I think the only time they ever did better was 1998. But they were under 500 on the road. They also only won one series on the road against a team that finished with a winning record, and that was Milwaukee back in June. And that's what they have to do this week. They have to win the series in Chicago. Mike Schilt on the team at home versus road.
Can you point to anything in particular when you look at the discrepancy in the way your team has played on the road versus, you know, the home record you guys have?
I don't think it's, you know, it's probably a lot of different things. But, you know, in general terms, I mean, we have a great home environment that we play in. So we enjoy playing at home. I don't really read too much into the road. I mean, it's not – the fact that we've been so good at home creates more differential for the road record. It's like the road record's atrocious. So we've been more than competitive on the road last year, this year. So it's really more about, you know, how well we played at home. But we've clearly also been able to take care of business on the road as well.
Go to Bruce on the left.
Hey, Mike. Because you know you've known that you're going to play the Cubs for a while, what type of advantages does it give you and the Cubs as well to prepare over this last week or 10 days?
Yeah, we've had our feet in two different places, right? You know, finishing the season, which we did strongly. I was really pleased how we competed at the end of the season. Really pleased how we competed all year, quite frankly. But we were able to keep our focus and attention on taking care of business at the end of the season, but also internally, more for the staff. When the players, you know, just go play. Now it's time to go prepare. But more from a front office, scouting, field staff, we've been able to spend some, you know, real time over the last 5 days or so to look at it. And it's a team we're fairly familiar with, a team I've got some history with and familiar with, and seen a lot of these guys over the last several years. So we've taken advantage of the time knowing who we're going to play.
All right, let's go back to the home road thing, because he said that they've competed well on the road. They have, against bad teams. But they're not playing a bad team, and that's got to be a concern. It is to me. You play 12 series this year against teams that finished with a winning record on the road. You lost 2 to the Dodgers on the road. You lost on the road to Cincy. You lost at Chicago to the Cubs. You lost at Philadelphia the series. You lost the Mets series. You also lost Seattle, Yankees, Toronto. and you lost Detroit and even Houston. That's 12 road series. You won one. I'm hoping you can win two.
Yeah,
right?
It
shouldn't mean anything because you're going to just roll out there and play, but that doesn't bode well, I must say. I hate to say.
No, that does not bode well. So. He did a really good job of, you know.
Yes.
Because, yes, on face value, when you look at the numbers, it doesn't look that bad. But the fact that you point out and have pointed out all season long that they just don't beat good teams on the road does make me take pause, Chris.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I have to give you the numbers as they are. All right, we'll see if Sammy Leavitt can make you feel any better. He's coming off a thrilling victory Saturday night. Or was it Friday night? I think it was Friday night.
Who are we talking?
Sammy Leavitt. He led Arizona State to a comeback victory over TCU.
Yes. You know, his arm is really good.
Brilliant performance by Sam Leavitt on Friday night for the Sun Devils. Now we've sent him to Chicago to get us ready for the Padres and the Cubs. We'll go to Wrigley when we come back on Gwen and Chris.
Ben and Woods.
Hi.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris underway on playoff eve. Tomorrow, of course, Padres Cubs game one of the NL wild card series. Nick Pivetta, left-hander Matthew Boyd, a couple of former American leaguers going head-to-head here. Pivetta came over from the Red Sox, Boyd from the Tigers, and it is 76 degrees and sunny in the Windy City today. And I don't even think there's much wind. Joining us from Wrigley Field, our guy on the scene, Sam Leavitt. Pre-game, post-game, all-around good guy.
Hi, Chris. Hi, Scraby. How are you? You are absolutely right. I am a good guy, but it is also
a good guy.
It's also a stunningly gorgeous day in Chicago. And I tell you, I walked around Lake Michigan today. I mean, it's like summertime here. So if you were thinking this was going to be a series where everybody's bundled up in autumn, and we get that classic Chicago weather, it is not going to be that way. Beautiful day, supposed to be very warm tomorrow and nice weather tomorrow. So this is going to have a summertime type feel. It's a gorgeous day here at Wrigley Field.
Very happy to hear that. Sam Leavitt joining us live from Chicago. He's presented by David P. Shapiro. Criminal defense attorneys, if you're facing criminal charges, trust David P. Shapiro and his team, helping clients regain control since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com. All right, Sam, big news of the day. Dylan Cease going to get the nod in Game 2. Your thoughts, and maybe if you can add a little bit more to what Mike Schiltz said. You know, Scraby and I are kind of surmising that, you know, going with Cease kind of just means that Michael King, they felt, wasn't quite ready, at least not yet, to pitch this week. I mean, because I think King would have been the choice otherwise.
Yeah, I was a little surprised, although, you know, like some others, I heard some of the rumblings about maybe Cease being the game two starter after Pivetta. I do wonder, to your point, how much it's about Michael King and what they've seen from him so far. Michael King has been okay, but certainly has not been as sharp as we're used to seeing, which makes a lot of sense. He just hasn't pitched much at all since late May. So I do think that probably plays a factor. I also do think if the Padres wanted one of those guys available out of the bullpen, King might be the best one suited for it because he's done it before, and maybe they just weren't comfortable with a guy like Dylan Cease in that role. I also think there are numbers to point to with Cease, really, really two buckets of them that, you know, maybe make a lot of sense. Number one, I know he hasn't been perfect as of late, but he's been better. So you can look at his end of the season and take that away. And the other part of it is that he has been very good against the Cubs the last couple of years. He had a pretty solid start against them, although he gave up 7 hits. That was all the way back in April. I don't know how much stock you want to put into that, but his 2 starts against them last year, both early in the season, were terrific, including 7 shutout innings, 12 strikeouts here in Chicago in early May of last year. So I think it probably all plays a role into it. His success against the Cubs, what he's looked like as of late. Again, not dominant, but probably a little bit better than what he was. And obviously, I think also you do have to factor in the Michael King part of it. And maybe the Padres just weren't ready or confident enough in where King is right now. We know when Michael King is healthy and on, he's about as good as anybody in the National League. We know that. But we haven't seen that for Michael King. And we saw some, even in that start in Chicago, even in the start he made over the weekend, there have just been moments for King where the command eludes him, and that's dangerous in a series like this. And you know, a couple of walks and a home run, you could find yourself down 3-0 early, and guess what? In a best-of-3 series, that's a really, really, really big deal. So I understand it. I also understand some of the concern considering Cease's season and considering what he did in the postseason last year. I mean, the last memory of Dylan Cease was him going on 3 days rest against LA and it didn't go well. And that was, you know, one of the things that started not to go well for the Padres in that series. So all in all, I know a long answer there, but am I a little surprised? Yes, but I think when you think about it, there probably was a case to be made for Cease over King, and the Padres are going to roll with that.
Sam Levitt is in Chicago. I want to throw this in for Scraby because this is Scraby's big thing. And then after this, let's go back and start talking about game one because that's going to actually be before Cease pitches. But
yeah,
Cease, 606, the OPS against him first time through the order, goes all the way up to 802 the second time through the order. Could the Padres in game two use Cease for the first 3 innings and piggyback with Michael King? Do you think they would risk something like that?
Totally. Or in a more general sense, just have a really quick hook on him. Look, I don't think anybody's going to have a super long leash in these games. And Michael King, you could see him at some point wherever he's needed, right? If he's going to be available out of the bullpen. So I think quick hook is probably the way to put it. Could they deploy a strategy like that? Let Cease get a few innings, one trip through the lineup, and then go to somebody like Michael King? Sure. I also wonder how much game one, what happens in game one, will influence what they do in game two. If it's a game where you have a little bit of wiggle room, or if it's a game where you're facing elimination. So we shall see. I think it goes without saying that the Padres are going to need Pivetta to be really good. They're going to need Cease to be effective. Again, I just keep going back to this is a good Cubs offense, and you don't want to fall behind. We've seen all regular season long when the Padres don't get good starting pitching and fall behind, it has not been a recipe for success. So any way you slice it, they got to get good pitching, and we'll see if they can do that. But I do think, you know, having a quick hook on Cease and maybe pairing him with King in sort of a piggyback could certainly be something they look into.
Sammy, all right, let's go to game one because I already mentioned this to Scraby. They've had 12 wild card series since they went to the 2-out-of-3 format in 2022. The winner of game one has won all 12 series.
Yeah.
The winner of game one has actually swept 10 of the 12 series. The only two that went to a third game, one was, of course, the Padres and Mets a few years ago, and the other one was last year when the Mets won game 3 over the Brewers. So I'm kind of thinking of putting all my eggs in the basket tomorrow. You know, I mean, I know it's not going to be the series, but the recent history suggests that maybe it'll just all come down to tomorrow.
Yeah, look, it's a weird thing. I mean, not that it's a huge sample size, but 12 series, I think, is enough to look into that a little bit, at least. I mean, that is kind of weird because, again, it's just a three-game series. So you would imagine even by this point, there would be a team that won game one where, you know, the other team won two games in a row. It's baseball, for goodness sake. So that's certainly possible. So it is interesting. Will this year be the year where that changes? I don't know. I do think game one is incredibly important for the Padres because they're throwing Nick Pivetta, and he has been by far and away their best, most consistent, most dominant starting pitcher all season long. He has shown no signs of slowing down. You have no reason to believe he is not going to deliver tomorrow. I mean, he is locked in. He's got the personality to pitch in the postseason for sure, with his intensity, with how he goes about things. So it's a big game. I think for the Padres, game one is so important, not only because of the history of game one, but also because they've got their guy in the mound. And then after that, you've got question marks with your rotation. I mean, we don't know what you're going to get from Dylan Cease. We don't know really what you're going to get from Yu Darvish, you know, who has been up and down since he came back. And there have been times where Yu has looked great. There have been times where Yu really hasn't been very sharp. And same goes for Michael King. The one sure thing, just from an expectation standpoint, and we'll see what happens tomorrow, postseason can be tricky, but the one sure thing is Nick Pivetta, and he has been that guy all year. So, look, I think game one's incredibly important because you have him going. I also think game one, from an offensive standpoint, is really important. Look, we've seen it all year. The Padres are not necessarily a team built to play from behind. If you're the Padres tomorrow, you want to punch this team early. Punch them early and play to your recipe, especially in a short series. Get a lead. Pivetta's good. Give it to your high-leverage guys and go get a game one win. I think playing from behind and getting into a slugfest with this Cubs lineup, the Cubs can score. They really can. And, you know, I don't want to see the Padres in that kind of game tomorrow.
Talking to Sammy Lev, he's in Chicago at Wrigley Field, one of the most historic places in baseball. So that's got to be pretty cool for you, Sam. I want to talk about Randy Vasquez, though. Why do the Padres not seemingly trust him? Now, we don't know if he's going to be on the roster. We don't know if he's going to be used in relief. But why not go Randy Vasquez game two when he's clearly, to me, been the most more consistent pitcher between Dylan Cease and Randy Vasquez?
Yes, Gray. Well, number one, I think he's going to be on the roster. I mean, okay, they've made that pretty clear already that they will carry all five of their starters on the roster. I would anticipate Randy's going to be on the roster.
Okay.
And that's part of the reason I think you saw him come out of the bullpen to throw an inning on Sunday, was to get his feet a little bit wet in that role. So I think Randy's going to have more of a traditional bullpen role, and obviously somebody who can give you length if you need it and could factor in, whether it's the wild card series or deeper into the postseason. You know, Scraby, when you really think about how the Padres normally operate on these kinds of things and how a Mike Schilts and AJ Preller led ball club typically operates on these kinds of things, this is an organization and a team that really relies on their veteran players and experience. And the bottom line is they've got, obviously, Pivetta is an obvious one, but they've got Dylan Cease, who has a big time track record. They've got Yu Darvish, who's got a big time track record. They've got Michael King, who was terrific last year. I just think there was no world in which Randy was going to get a start over those guys. And that's not Randy's fault. I also think with Randy Vasquez, yes, Scraby, he's been very effective, and I think he's filled an important role on this team. And I think Randy Vasquez, you know, assuming that the Padres could lose a couple of guys in this rotation in the offseason, I think Randy Vasquez probably shows up at spring training next year and has, I don't know if I'd say a lock on a spot for the rotation, but you're thinking he's probably going to be in this rotation. I don't know that he's going to show up battling per se for a spot, because I think he's been that effective, and I think he's proved he can be a back-end starter, no doubt about it. But I just don't see a world where they would have done that. And also with Randy, while he's been good, we know Traffic Cop deals with a ton of base traffic, and that is just a really dangerous way to live against a good team in the postseason. And I don't know that there was any world where they were going to elect for that over throwing a guy like Dylan Cease, who has the ceiling of giving you an absolutely dominant outing, or Yu Darvish, take your pick of guys. So I understand what you're saying about Vasquez, but I don't see a world where that was going to happen.
All right, next time just deliver that answer with less snark in it, okay? Thank you.
Yeah, I thought the snark was necessary, to be honest with you.
I know, I'm just seeing it a lot out there, and I understand why you wouldn't start Randy Vasquez, because he has...
He wasn't starting.
I know that. I'm just saying, I understand why, but I was asking the question because I was curious what Sam would say.
You got it. Sam Levitt is there in Chicago, brought to us by David P. Shapiro, attorneys. And okay, Sam, let's take a look real quick. Be manager Mike Shildt. Go through all the analytics with me. You got to put together a lineup tomorrow. And I'm looking at Matthew Boyd, and Matthew Boyd's had a really good season. We know that. He was better in the first half than the second half. But this is a guy who all season long, the whole year, gave up only 2 home runs to left-handed hitters. Mm-hmm. He gave up a 576 OPS to left-handed hitters. That is sparkling. Are the Padres going to test him with 5 hitters tomorrow batting from the left side?
Yeah, it's a good question, Chris. I assume the only things you could do, I guess there are 2 things, right? And I'm sure you're thinking right along with me, because you can definitely pencil in, I think, 7 out of the 9 spots in this lineup.
Yeah.
With a pretty good degree of certainty, with kind of 100% certainty. The 2 spots that would be interesting would be, would you toy with the idea of a Bryce Johnson start, who's a switch hitter in left field as a right-handed batter against him? Although I don't see that happening. I think Sheets will start in left. But yes, to your point, that's another lefty-lefty matchup in your lineup. And then could you see a Jose Iglesias DH instead of a Ryan O'Hearn? Again, you are getting a righty-lefty matchup, Iglesias against Boyd. Now, the thing you're giving up in those 2 scenarios with either sitting Sheets or O'Hearn is you are just giving up a ton of power for a couple of at-bats. Now, yep, you go get a righty out of the bullpen, and you know those guys are coming in to hit. I don't see it. I would think Sheets is going to start. I would think O'Hearn is going to start. I think they're going to ride these lefty-lefty matchups, I think. But, Chris, to your point, would there be an argument to, you know, start a Johnson, start an Iglesias if you are really fixated on the lefty-righty matchup against Boyd? There's an argument to it, but what do I anticipate? I anticipate, based on what we've seen and how they feel about those guys and their power potential, I would think that, yes, you're just going to see a ton of lefties in this lineup. It's part of the reason why losing Ramon Laureano, especially for this series, was so crushing, because this is a guy who, number one, is a really good player, and number two, rips up lefties. And now you've got another lefty in that lineup, unless you'd... Chris, I find it hard to believe that you're going to have Bryce Johnson out there instead of Gavin Sheets.
No, I don't think they will.
Maybe the Iglesias thing is a little bit more likely.
I think so.
I don't know.
Here's what I'm thinking.
Maybe that's a little bit more likely, but I find it hard to believe that you'd have Johnson in left field starting game one of a playoff series.
First thing, I think O'Hearn has to be in there. He's been great against lefties, and I can trust that he's
hot.
He's hot.
Well, that's the thing, too. Now, you could, again, we're just working through what the reasonings would be. I think Sheets and O'Hearn are going to be in there. But if you were going to sit one, you could make the argument that Sheets has not swung the bat well lately at all, and O'Hearn ended the season red hot. I mean, he's been terrific. So,
Iglesias played some left field this year. Also, Ryan O'Hearn can play left field. It's just something to think about.
I will tell you, you can even tell on the field in the afternoon how windy it is. Even on the field, it's pretty windy. So you can only imagine what it does to the baseballs
up top.
And I'm looking at the flags right now. Yeah, they're blowing around. And I don't have a great answer for it with Sheets in left field. He's been better out there since the start of the year, but you know, there's a good chance he's going to be out there, and you better hope that he just can handle it. He's improved, but obviously this is a very tough place to play the outfield.
This is crazy, but I'm really honestly thinking of Iglesias in left field. I just trust him.
I'll tell you, that's not going to happen.
You don't think so? He played it this year.
You think they're going to throw him out there in the playoffs?
I don't think in game one of a postseason series they're sticking Iglesias.
Iglesias can field anywhere. Come on.
You know, that was a crazy thought.
I think he would do fine, but I don't think that's going to happen. My prediction is that O'Hearn and Sheets will be in the lineup. Would I be shocked if Iglesias got in there? No, I would not. I think they're going to go with the lefty matchups, and we'll see how it goes.
I think Iglesias would be great as a catcher. You know, why not? Why not?
All right. If he hadn't played there, I wouldn't have brought it up. Hadn't played there this year, I wouldn't have brought it up. But he did play there this year.
How many games did he actually play? I'm being serious.
I'm not sure, but okay. He was out there. Sam, you're great. One thing that Scraby wants you to look out for tomorrow, his prediction that Luis Campusano, as the third catcher, comes off the bench and gets the game-winning hit in the 11th inning.
Yeah, you know what? Hey, first. You never know. No ghost runner. No ghost runner. So, look, they did leave the door open today to the possibility of carrying three catchers. Campy is here. He took batting practice. So, look, he wouldn't be here if wasn't a possibility that he could make this roster. Elise Diaz was out there, too. He went through a little bit of a workout, then went inside. I don't have more information on that. But we shall see. That's going to be interesting when the roster comes out tomorrow for sure.
Could you imagine if Camposano's only hit of the season?
It would be the storyline of storylines.
Wins the game.
He would be etched
playoffs.
In Padres lore forever.
And his first hit of the season is a postseason game-winning hit.
Yeah, he's 0 for 21 this year.
Yeah, I got Iglesias in left field for two innings this year. So let's maybe scrap that idea.
You play a long extra inning game. You never know where people could go. So
it is
something to think about with these playoff games. We forget what long extra inning games are like, and you can certainly get one.
That's true.
All right, Sammy, thank you so much, man. You're the guy, and I'm so glad you're there. And enjoy the games. Have fun. And
all right, guys.
We'll talk about a win tomorrow.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
Sammy Levitt. He thought he was going to get out of there scot-free. I kept him the entire segment.
I know you did keep him there the entire segment.
I love Sammy. I love Sammy. He's the guy.
Too. Oh, I need to take Sam off the screen. That's what he's telling me.
He took
me
a walk along Lake Michigan today. So funny. I took a little walk along Lake Michigan today. Attaboy, Sam.
He actually does take advantage of stuff like that.
I would sit in my room. He's probably going to go out and get deep dish pizza tonight, and I'm kind of jealous of that. All right, hour number two, Gwynn and Chris. Still ahead. We haven't even touched on yesterday in the NFL. We'll get to some of that. And Daily Gambit, stick around.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.